due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your friendly neighborhood Pinhead 198 coming back to you with another overdue episode. October 2nd, 2021. And we got a couple of things to discuss here, you know. As you heard from the theme, we're going to talk about the Many Saints of Newark review, if I can talk. We're not going to get into very heavy spoilers. We'll get into minor spoilers. I will warn people once we get into the minor spoilers for those, because I don't want to spoil this for anybody, regardless of how I felt about this film, and we'll get into how I felt about this film. I still don't want to spoil it for the people that have not seen it yet. It just came out yesterday on HBO Max and in the theaters. And like I always say, I want you to spoil it for yourself and come to your own conclusions. And then you can decide whether you agree with me or not. So, but we're going to get into the Many Saints of Newark review. This one was a surprisingly extremely tough watch to watch because the pacing is so god awful. It's dreck. Is this film the worst film of the year? No. Is this film a completely terrible film? No. But once again, as my catchphrase, as I like to use it on my multiple platforms, this is average, middle of the road nonsense. And this, for this series, it should not be average, middle of the road. We're talking about The Sopranos prequel, and we'll also compare it to another prequel slash cult classic television film that has a huge diehard fan base, just like The Sopranos, that did it right. As a non-Sopranos fan, for those of you, you could consider this, well, we're going into a good mob movie. It's a decent mob film, but it doesn't hold up to all the other mob films that this will be called back to and compared to. For those who don't know anything about The Sopranos except for knowing the phenomenon and have yet to check it out, I wouldn't say this is a stain, but it might make you turn it off from actually seeking out The Sopranos, and I will tell you, do not, because this film does not justify, this is one of my negatives to this film, it does not justify the legacy that is The Sopranos. I went and seen this film with a very, very good friend of mine. Dan, I'm shouting you out because I love you, brother. And the biggest reason why I went to see this with him is we both found out as we were going into the theater that we both watched it on HBO Max, so we already knew our opinions. So we threw that by the wayside, and we were just enjoying each other's company, because I love Dan. You're a good dude. You're like a brother to me, because I know you listen to these podcasts, so I'm shouting you out. And this man knows far more about Sopranos than I do. What I know about wrestling and horror, he knows about Sopranos. And he was not happy with it, and rightfully so. Full disclosure, I'm a moderately new Sopranos fan. I watched it back in the day. My mom actually had the first She collected the first full season and almost the second. She collected the entire first season on VHS. And as a kid, I was like, eh, and I watched and I didn't care. Most recently this year, in preparation, and excuse me, you know, I'm going to flaw my words because I'm a little stoned and drunk right now, and I'm agitated. But in preparation for this film, 6 months ago, I binge-watched the fuck out of Sopranos. And I mean, when I mean I binge-watched it, I took all the time that I had on my time off at work, which is very limited. It was well before this podcast and even, you know, taking time out of the other podcast. I binge-watched this entire series, and I loved it. It has its flaws, especially toward the end, which is ridiculous. But it overall is one of the greatest series to come out on any form of television, whether it be premium, mainstream television, primetime television, you know, cable television. This is one of the greatest shows. It's not my top one, because there's another little show on HBO, and no, it's not Game of Thrones. It's a little cop drama. We'll leave it at that, you know. It has a wire in it. But this show is in my top five favorites, and those of you that aren't Sopranos fans, this might not work for you. And for those of you who are Sopranos fans, this definitely, for the most part, will not work for you. As my boy Dan pointed out, you know, like I said, he's the aficionado, and I concede to him. He saw the Easter eggs that I didn't even see because he's seen the show multiple times, far more. He's a diehard fan. And he was let down. His exact words were he felt like he was stabbed in the heart. And I could understand that, even being fresh and new to the Sopranos series. As a diehard fan, this is not for Sopranos fans. They'll tell you it is. Because there's member berries in this fucking movie. Even I saw that. But it does not cut it. As those, especially for like my boy, who are diehard Sopranos fans, this does not cut it. It is not what they were asking for. It's not what I was asking for. Well, look at the highlights of this movie. Actually, I feel like we should go through the lowlights first. No, we'll go into the highlights because they're not few and far between, however. So we'll start off with the obvious. So this will go into a highlight slash negative light, but we'll start off with Livia Soprano, played by Vera Farmiga. She was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Her portrayal of the matriarch of the Soprano family, which, let's just say what it is, she is. She was one of the people that made this movie. I will say, on a negative light as we go in, the prosthetics on her nose were fucking dreadful. You're a multi-billion dollar company, Warner Brothers. There's no excuse for this. Backed by HBO, there's no excuse for how god-awful the makeup effects were for her nose. That threw me off a little bit, but she wrangled it back in with her great performance. She absolutely epitomized a young Olivia Soprano. her melodrama, her overreactions, her constant just, it's all about, like, it was hammered home in this film, and I love that fact. I will give her A++ marks on that. Alexandria Novola, and if I'm murdering your name, I'm sorry. He's actually a fantastic actor. A lot of people have slept on him, but as Dickie Molisanti, Christopher's dad, all intents and purposes, mentor and father figure to Tony, he was fantastic. He was just great. He was one of the high points. Wasn't utilized all that perfectly, but he was very much one of the high points. Ray Liotta, I had a great time with, even though they did the bait and switch with that. I still enjoyed, you know, Ray Liotta, and who doesn't? You know, Ray Liotta's great. So let's get to the negatives, because for the most part, this film, if I were to grade it, I'm going to grade it right off the bat, because I don't want to get too in-depth with it. Like I said, this is still a new film. I don't want to ruin it for people. This is a C-minus film for me. For me personally, this is a C-minus film. It's not a failure, but it is nowhere near hitting it out of the park like it should. This should be at the very bare minimum. At the very least, this movie, if executed properly, should have been a B-plus film, at the very least. And it wasn't. It was a C-minus. Because there was so underutilized characters that are just, it's agitating. It's absolutely agitating. So let's go over the cast as far as, trying to word this properly, as far as how it compares to here and the television series. Because you have to. They did it, so we have to. Let's go into Silvio's character. Silvio Dante, played by the great Steve Van Zandt. Well, the problem with this, and my boy brought up a very good point, he's very cartoonish. John Magaro, if I'm pronouncing your name correctly. I don't know if it was you that was the problem. I don't, because you did a great mimic job, but that's not what we were looking for. It was cartoonish. He was just mimicking the same bullshit, you know, doing the same, you know, it was the same lean to the head that Silvio did and all that shit. And I'll even give him credit that he got the accent down for the most part. However, it did become very, very cartoonish. You know, it was almost to the point where it drew you out of the film and it made you go, he's just imitating Van Zandt. Like, are we really doing this? Another person, and I'm not going to go down the cast line because this will take forever, but another person, the Pauly character, I'm sorry, it was fucking Drek. You know, we knew that Pauly had a more cleanly, metrosexual style toward how he presented himself, but they went overboard with this shit, almost to the point where if he was really in the mafia and he pulled some of the shit that he pulled because of his cleanliness, at the very least, without getting whacked, he would have got his ass lit up. Like, it did not portray a true mafia enforcer. I don't care if he was younger then. Like, it was pathetic. I hated that character. And Pauly was one of my favorite characters in the Sopranos series. So good job there, buddies, because you made me hate one of my favorite characters on the show in this film. Good job. You're doing the Lord's work. So then we're going to go get straight to Michael Gandolfini, because we're not going to overdo this, because I just don't want to get into a long diatribe about this was a mediocre film. Michael Gandolfini, if he was given more time, I think he would have done better, but he wasn't up to snuff, especially when you compare him to his father and put him on that level of what he will become as Tony Soprano in the series. He just doesn't cut the mustard. And like I say, that may be because his time is not as long as it should be, because it takes us a while. This movie's only 2 hours flat. From credit to credit, this movie's 2 hours flat. Should have been a little bit longer than that, especially for a mafia film. It takes us a long time to get to teenage Tony Soprano, young, when he actually is getting to that point where he's pulling out petty crimes and stealing shit and stealing an ice cream truck. You know, spoiler alert, you'll see it, and it doesn't really matter, but it leads to nothing. Because we're left, without spoiling this film, at the end we're left with literally a setup for another film or another Sopranos project in this realm. And it's fucking bullshit. Me and my boy Dan agreed this should have been a series. At the very least, it should have been a limited 10-episode series. You could have fleshed out these characters far better. The pacing would have been a lot better. A lot of the acting would have been a lot better, because you would have been able to flesh out these characters and understand their motivation of why they acted the way they did during their young years compared to what they act like in the older years as their experienced mafia made men in the Sopranos series that we all love. Those of us that have seen it, which is pretty much a huge factor of the waking world, just like Breaking Bad and fucking Game of Thrones. So there's no reason why, at the very least, you couldn't have made this a 2 hour and 45 minute film to really flesh out the characters and get to the, you know, the payoff that didn't pay off toward the end. And I know I'm being vague, but for those of you who still want to see it, I don't want to ruin it for you. Like I always say, you want to spoil it for yourself by seeing the film. However, just taper your expectations, because this film is very, very mediocre and subpar to what the legacy. And I go into another example of a series that's not on the same level, but it is a very, very, very cherished, beloved franchise, TV franchise, that also had a prequel that came after the series was over, which was Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. If you want to understand, Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me is one of my favorite horror mystery films. There's mystery element in it because we're dealing with a murder, the FBI investigating the murder, but there are tons of horror aspects. This is a horror film for all intents and purposes. This is how you execute a prequel film correctly. This is how you do it the right way. Where if you didn't see the series before, this would actually work as a perfect standalone film where you don't have to see the series. I might even argue you should see this film first before you see the series. And that's what I was hoping with Many Saints of Newark. Unfortunately, we didn't get that. It wasn't a complete failure, but it sure as hell does not make anybody who is curious about Sopranos to go and seek it out after seeing this film. It just doesn't. Because most of the people, especially those who haven't seen the Sopranos series, are going to see Many Saints of Newark just to see a good mafia film. And that's not even executed well. This is a bland, average mafia film. It does not hold up to the greats like Godfather, like Goodfellas. Hell, like even the Departed, which is a remake, by the way. This is just average. Let's say it together, the old catchphrase from filmmaker Mike and the Boys. It's average. Middle of the road. Disappointment fair. C minus at best. And I saw this twice. I saw it on HBO Max and I saw it with my boy Dan. And the only reason why I really went to see this again in the theater was so I could see my boy and hang out with him and have a good time with him. And I had a great time with him. It just sucks that it happened to be this mediocre, average film. Hey, maybe again for Halloween Kills or Bond, you know, because Bond's coming out next week, and the week after that, Halloween Kills. So maybe it'll be better if we go see that, but I'll leave it at that. I could go into further, but then we're going to get into major, major spoiler territory, which I don't want to do for those of the uninitiated who have yet to see it. I'm not going to be that big of a dick. But God, I may do a spoiler review of all these films that I'm very, like Malignant. I'm definitely doing a spoiler review of that one as we're heading into the Halloween season. It is October 2nd as we record this. I also will do a spoiler heavy Halloween Kills review. But that will be, you know, down the line after I've done my spoiler-free review of it, and we'll see how that goes, but this is just not the way to start October off for me. It's a C-minus, and that's that. I wish we could say more about this film, but like I said, not only because of the spoilers, but God, this was such an average film. Excluding, like, Villa Farmiga and the young man that played Dickie Salamont, and I will say this without spoiling it, but it is a minor spoiler, but they try and I felt it. Anyone else that sees this film, you can tell me how you feel, but I felt like they were really trying to hammer home that, and I can't really get into my point, but they were really trying to hammer home the failure of the relationship between Tony and his nephew. And I'll leave it at that because by saying what I say, if I go further, it won't just spoil the movie for you. It might spoil some shit for those of you who have not seen the Sopranos series. However, if you haven't seen the Sopranos series yet, I would not go see this because they tell you some shit that you don't know in the Sopranos that's in this film. So, if they executed this better, it would have been a perfect film for Sopranos diehard fans. Hell, even for mediocre, you know, new fans like me. But it just fails on all cylinders. And the only reason why it's not an F is because beyond the pacing, the acting's fantastic. Minus Vera Farmiga, the makeup is well done. The set pieces are fantastic. You feel like you're in the 60s and the 70s because it takes place through, you know, the late 60s into the 70s. It takes place to two decades. And you feel like you're in those decades each time. It's just the writing and the pacing is dreck, which takes you out of the film, which gives the actors who are trying their hardest bad material, and it makes them look like amateurs. So I'm going to leave it at that because if I keep going further, the rating's going to drop because even more that I think about it, it's like, is it really a C-minus film? So, you know, like I told my boy Dan, the second viewing of this film made me hate it a little bit more because I saw the flaws in it. So, and there are some major, major flaws in it, especially for those of you, for two factions, for cinema snobs and diehard Sopranos fans. This is a failure. I'm sorry, but it's just that. It's a failure. It's the same type of failure that I got when I was being a diehard 24 fan and we got the last season that we got. Absolute failure. So, we'll move on because I'll leave it at the C-, but God, it was a chore, so. Don't think we have much more to talk about. I mean, this is mostly a Mini Saints of Newark review. I'm going to do a review because we're doing another episode tonight. I'll release it. I'm trying, you know, I have a full-time job, so I can't really do this consistently. I wish I could, but I get off at like 4:30 in the morning sometimes, and it's just like, it's hard to do, but I'm trying to make it a consistent thing where I do Saturday, Sunday, and Monday episodes, and if I don't do an episode on Sunday, I'll double book Saturday and Monday. I'll probably just do that, to be honest, do two episodes on Saturday, one episode on Monday. That won't be consistent, but where I'm at right now, I really want to do that because that'll work out better for the audience that I do have, those of you that I appreciate that are still listening to this. The only reason why I could figure out why you're still listening to this is because you're fucking insane like I am, so I welcome you, my family, my creatures, my pinhead people, you know. But I'm going to try and keep it consistent. It's just hard, like, when you have a full-time job that you're doing at all time, and you're exhausted. You know, working from 7 in the evening all the way to 4:30 in the morning, sometimes maybe 5 if we push it. It's just like, ugh, do I really want to do anything? But I'm going to keep it consistent. I think I'm going to keep it more toward the Saturday, doing two episodes Saturday and an episode on Monday. And in worst case scenario, just doing two episodes on Saturday. So, and the very, 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 very worst case scenario, just doing an episode on Monday. That might happen. That's a possibility, so. Anyway, and that's why I want to do another episode tonight, because we're going to get into a lot of topics. We're going to get into Dark Side of the Ring's newest episode, because God, was that batshit crazy. And a lot of you are enjoying the wrestling content that I'm doing on here. My highest rated episode is the Chris Canyon Dark Side of the Ring, and I understand that. So we're going to keep doing with that. I'll get my information out there, my official information, my Twitter, my Instagram, all that. I'll get that together and put that on the next episode so you can contact me and tell me I'm a piece of garbage, you agree, you don't agree, or anywhere in between. So we'll get into that, and we'll do a couple other things, you know. We'll talk about what I'm playing. I want to talk about what I've seen so far as horror and what I'm really anticipating, because I did an episode like this before, but it wasn't structured well because it got into other things. I'm going to go into straight what I think, not what I'm also just watching, but what I think is perfect horror movie fare for this month. For those of you who may not know so much about it, who may want to have a good date night or with your significant other, or maybe you just want to scare the shit out of yourself, I'll give you that list on the next episode, which will be tonight as well. But that's my spiel on Mini Saints of Newark. Oh God, was it a fucking chore. I hate to say that. I wish it was different, but anywho, love all you guys out there that are still listening. I even love you guys that hate listening, so have a great night and stay tuned for the next episode, which should be coming very shortly. Love you guys, and until next time.